That reading reminded us of what we heard in the Lego video, that it was long before the events in Bethlehem that God was preparing and showing his love and power over the events of human history and God's relationship with human history. That was part of our series that we've been looking at in the build-up to Christmas, that God is a God who has prepared long before time. We always ask each other, don't we, are you ready for Christmas? Have you prepared everything that you think needs done for the day? Well, God is a God who had prepared the way in human history by speaking his word, by having a plan in place even before the disaster that came upon the earth in our rebellion from God had happened. God had purposed a plan that would offer a way in which humanity could come back to him. And when the time was right in his purposes, at a precise moment in human history, he prepared the way to bring Jesus into the world. And John the Baptist came and told us to look to Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. And that reminded us of the purpose of the Father's gift. Sometimes we get things at Christmas, we've no idea what they're for. But when God sent his gift, he makes it clear that Jesus comes into the world to save people from their sins and for us to know that God is with us. And this is secured for us in what we recognize the Bible's teaching us on the perfect gift that the Father has given, the Son has given to the Son. I'm getting all mixed up at Christmas time. But Jesus offered his life, a perfect human obedience, a perfect human faithfulness. And we're able to share in all he accomplished and gave to the Father. That's the gift of faith. That's the wonder of the Christmas miracle, that we can be counted righteous before God because we can share in the perfect gift that the Son gave to the Father. But that reminds us of the problem we have if we don't accept this gift, that our lives aren't righteous. Our lives aren't good. They aren't what they should be. And so we recognize that Christmas reminds us that God has come to provide for everything that is lacking in us to make us right with God. And so later on in the service, we will give a few minutes just to thinking about how we need to respond to the gift that God has brought us. We do have copies left of the book we've been giving away throughout December, A Very Different Christmas, What Are You Hoping For This Year?, written by Rico Tice. And it goes through the implications of the Christmas story for us and the giving that is at the heart of the Christmas story. And where there's giving, there must then be receiving. How do we receive the gifts that God has sent? What do we do with the gifts we get at Christmas? I don't know if Ava can bring up the first potential gift somebody might get this Christmas. Sometimes it's obvious what to do with a gift, and I don't mean return it. You wear it. Or the next gift, you take it and hide it from your family so that you are able to use it at your own leisure. Or if you get money, it's so easy to know what to do with these gifts. They naturally lend themselves to their use. We wear things, we eat things, we save or spend things. But what do we do when God gives us a Savior? When people think of what God has given us at Christmas time, we think of the niceness and the sweetness, and we think of our own lives, and we can be very selfish at times thinking about what we want and what we think we deserve. But God didn't consult us. God didn't ask us, what do you want? God sent us and gave us what we need, a Savior for our souls, a Savior who would come and bless us. And I want us just very quickly, before we finish, to think about what it means to receive the gift that God has given us. And very simply, it must be accepted. You know, God hasn't entered into a negotiation with humanity and to have some kind of contract with us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he tells us, you need salvation. You need your inner being, your soul, to be put right. You need to be released from the things that oppress and destroy you and control you. You need to be forgiven from the things that lend to the righteous judgment of God. You need to be saved from all that. So he sends us a Savior, and we think to ourselves, what does it mean for us to accept the gift that God sends us? Well, in one of the readings we had, we are reminded that Jesus came into this world having already existed as the Son of God, and he came full of grace and truth. So if we think about accepting the gift of a Savior that Jesus is to us, this is what it means. It means accepting the truth that he brings, the truth about ourselves, the truth about God, the truth about sin, the truth about forgiveness, the truth about salvation, the truth about righteousness, the truth about judgment, the truth about eternity, the truth about what God has done to remedy the things that offend him in this world. And thankfully, the Bible tells us that he didn't just come full of truth, he came full of grace and truth. Because sometimes when we learn the truth about ourselves, it can be a sore experience. I think I used the illustration in one of the previous messages. Imagine getting a book, if you open one of your presents tomorrow, and it's like, 10 easy steps to lose weight quickly. It's saying something about us. And when the Bible tells us that God has given us a Savior, it's saying something about us that we have to accept, and that we have to believe and trust before we ever really can benefit from the gift God has given. So God's gift is one that is laden with truth, but praise his name, if we accept it, it's also laden with grace and with God's kindness. We accept the fact that Jesus has come to save us. We accept the fact that God has loved us unconditionally. We accept the fact that we don't have to prove ourselves to God. We accept the fact that Jesus has atoned for our sins. We don't have to pay back for our own sins. We accept the fact that God is true to his word and he forgives us when we turn from our sins. We accept the fact that what God has done in Christ is sufficient for us, that his word promises us that we can know him and be near to him. We don't need to go through life worrying and fearing if we've ever done enough. We go through life believing that Jesus has done it all, and we receive his love and are accepted in him. And we accept these truths, that the fear of judgment is cast out, the fear of being cast away from God can be gone from us because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so life and Christmas can be very different for us when we accept all that God has said to us and all that God has done for us. And our response to that is to value it. This is what we see when we think about the gift of Jesus Christ. It must be valued. It's not one of these things you can just go, oh, well, thanks very much, and put it into the cupboard, as if that's, again, the experience some of us may have tomorrow morning, where we get something, we think, well, that was a nice thought, but I have no real use for it. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is something that is given to us for daily use. It's given to us for everyday experience of life. Jesus, he will be his name because he will save his people from their sins, and you will call him Emmanuel, for he is God with us. God in the gift of Jesus Christ isn't just a Christmas experience, it's a whole of life experience, and we're to value it, to treasure it. Some people have a misconception that, well, we just kind of say a wee prayer, and then one day we hope that when we die, we won't go to the bad place, we'll go to the good place. No, the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ is the very friendship of God coming into our souls from the moment we accept it. And so we value it by doing three things: by being thankful for Jesus, by being thankful for salvation, by being thankful that God came to Bethlehem, that this all-powerful God should become so small and vulnerable in the birth of a child. We're thankful for his holy life and his perfect life. Oh, we're so thankful for his sacrifice for us. You know, there's an interesting story when Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one of them came back to give thanks. And Jesus spoke about him and said, look, you know, did I not heal 10 of you? Why have only one of you come back? Why did Jesus speak like that? He shows us that God values thankfulness, but it's not because God's being petty. Well, I did all that for them and they do nothing for me. That's not the kind of spirit that Jesus is revealing. He's indicating that God takes note of the thankful one because he's the only one who truly values and appreciates what's been done for him. He's the only one who's got the understanding of the profundity of the love and grace and power that has been behind his healing and restoration. And to be a Christian is to be someone who lives with thankfulness for what God has rescued us from and what God has rescued us for, and the fact that God is with us in all the minor and personal struggles and all the major and powerful difficulties. And so we live with thankfulness. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside. Secondly, we think about, we give thought to the word of God. We give thought to the things of God. We don't just push the things of God to the back of our life. We fill our minds and our hearts with it. That's one of the instructions the apostle gave to the church. Whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are true, think about these things. Because the world will flood your thoughts with all kinds of things that can depress you and discourage you. The world will fill your thoughts about what the terrors of what's happening continually, the conspiracies that are going on. Does this mean that? Why did that happen? What's the purpose in all this? The word of God fills you with the light of eternal truth, with the light of the reality of the glory of God, the light of the glorious future that God is preparing and promising to his people, the light of the hope that Christ is with us and in us, that the light of the strength that we can receive as we trust in him, the joy of forgiveness and the fullness of love and the wonder of peace that comes to those who seek the presence of God. Think about these things if we value the gift that God gives us. And it's finally summarized by what we see with some of the actions that we heard of today in the readings of the Word of God. The prophet who spoke so powerfully about what God could accomplish for his people. And the response of the shepherds that we heard of in our last reading. Isn't it amazing what they did? They left their sheep. Now, if you have a crofting background, you might realize some of the significance of this. They leave them vulnerable. They risk their livelihood. They could get sacked by whoever owned the sheep, or they could get, or they could lose some of the flock if it was their own to some of the wild animals. But there was something so powerful about the message of this baby that was born that they left and went to Bethlehem. And then in a far-off country, there were these wise and powerful men, and something happens in the heavens, and they realize there's something significant taking place in the earth. That star wasn't there before. There's something that the very heavens are declaring to us about something that's happened in a far-off country. And they didn't just say, look, will someone else go and find out for us? No, they took it seriously. In fact, Herod was the one who couldn't be bothered going to find out for himself what had happened in Bethlehem. But here were grown men, working men. In the case of the men from the Orient, those who were powerful and influential from what we can guess about. But they moved their lives, they changed their livelihoods, and they kneeled before a baby and then an infant because of who this child is. How do we value the gift of God where we put Jesus to the forefront of our lives? Even when it may appear ridiculous. I was asking the children at Clover Primary, what would they think if I came down and went down on my knees in front of them and started worshiping one of them? And they rightly looked at me as if I was insane. But you know, that's what these men, wise men, magi did. That's what these shepherds did. And it would be insane except for this. The child who was born is the Savior of the world. Now, we don't bow in Bethlehem, and we don't bow at a manger, but we do bow in the presence of the one who died for us, rose for us, and ascended to God's right hand for us. We can't see him physically, but his word reveals him to us, and his truth speaks to us of him, and his spirit still convicts us to know that in believing in him and in trusting in him, there is salvation for us. What a different Christmas, and what a different life it is for every one of us when we value the gift God has given us in Jesus Christ and take him seriously and put him at the very forefront of our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your willingness to give your son, knowing that we would bruise him, knowing the hurt and sorrow he would experience, knowing that all he would endure in order to bring us back to you. We're astonished at such love. We're astonished at the level of your giving. So, Father, help every one of us to know today that you're speaking to us, to know today that you came to save us, to know today that you want us to give you the preeminent, most important place in our lives as you truly deserve, as the God who has given us life and offered us salvation. Father, we do pray for our world. We recognize the pain and the warfare intensifies, the sorrows increase. And we pray, God, that we would see in the midst of all the difficult issues, the reality of grace and truth in Jesus Christ preparing people for a better world than this. We pray, Lord, for those who are alone at Christmas. We pray for those, Lord, who have no home at Christmas, and we pray for those who are estranged from family at this time where all the kind of festivities around us speak so continually about the things that are meant to be important, and yet, Lord, these things are beyond the reach of many. Father, help us. Draw near to us. You came at Christmas so that we would know that God is with us. May that be the experience for many at this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.